Once again, it's time for the Pastor Study. This is Brother Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the Pastor Study. Today on the Pastor Study, our study in the Word of God is entitled Intercessors Needed. Intercessors Needed. And we'll be in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in just a moment. But before we begin, let's go to the throne room of God for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege it is this day to be able to open up the Scriptures. We thank you that we do have your preserved, inspired, infallible, inerrant words is found in the old, good old King James Bible. We thank you for that, Father. Father, now, we pray that your word would go out and, as you promised, not return void. We pray that the word of God would minister to the hearer today, that it would edify, build up, that it may have to rebuke. Father, we just pray that you would minister to us through thy word in whatever way you see fit today. And Father, we pray that you'd bless the listener. And we pray if there's a lost soul listening today, that this would be the day that they fall out with sin and fall in love with the Savior, because to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive him by faith into a person's heart is to know eternal life. And Father, we'll remember to give you all the honor and glory for whatever you'll choose to do this day, and it's in your Son Jesus' precious name we do pray and we give thanks. Amen and amen. Alrighty, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Alrighty, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look at the first six verses together. Paul here, according, is written this down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he's writing to his brother in the faith, his son in the faith, Timothy, a preacher. He writes, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Again, our study is entitled today, Intercessors Needed. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 16, we read that the Lord wondered that there were no intercessor. In other words, he wondered at the folly and unbelief of his people in neglecting the most effective means of blessing. This is a privilege within the reach of every child of God, a sphere of service open to every believer to make intercession. Our first point today is the importance of intercession. Let's look at verse 1 again. We read, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Here, this holy exercise gets the first place in Paul's exhortation to Timothy. It is possible that an intercessor's reward may be greater than a preacher's. In fact, Samuel knew how this honored the Lord when he declared, look in 1 Samuel and see what Samuel declared. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, notice. 1 Samuel chapter 12 with me. Notice what Samuel declared in verse number 23. 1 Samuel 12, 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. So we see then that prayerlessness is not only a sin against our own souls, but our fellow men and against God, amen. And that's what Samuel said. God forbid that he would not pray, amen, for other men, for his fellow men. And God forbid that we would not intercede for others, amen, in prayer. Notice the second thing quickly. The scope of intercession. Well, first of all, in verse 1, we see that the scope of intercession is for all men. And then in verse 2, all that are in authority. My friend, if ye know not what to pray for as you ought, here at least is a wide field for its operation, for all men, and for all that are in authority. Those of the captivity, amen, we're talking about the Babylonian captivity of the nation of Israel, those of the captivity were exhorted to seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. In Jeremiah 29, verse 7. Our modern cities, my friends, are in desperate need of intercessors. Perhaps our modern churches, no less. In praying for all men, don't forget the all in your own home, the all in your churches, the all in your city, and the all in your nation. Remember the great all, A-L-L, for whom Christ died. Number 3, notice the incentives for intercession. As an encouragement for intercession, think of, first of all, the will of God. We read here in verse 4 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. By his own power, God could save all men, whether they will or not. But in grace, he is willing to save all that come unto the knowledge of truth. In praying for all men to be saved, we are in line with the divine will in helping the fulfillment of his purpose. We're looking at the incentives for intercession. We saw one of the incentives is the will of God. The second one is the ransom price. The ransom price. Read in verse number 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Christ gave himself a ransom for all. There is ample provision in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and in the will of the Father for the salvation of all men. Remember what John the Baptist uttered as he saw Jesus coming? He cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," in John chapter 1, verse 29. Again, we're looking at the incentives for intercession. The will of God, the ransom price, and number 3, the mediator. The mediator. We're told in verse 5, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What an incentive to pray this is when we realize that the eternal Son of God, in the likeness of men, is our mediator before the throne, and he ever liveth to make intercession. Ponder also this, the example set before us. Look at the example of Abraham. Abraham, who interceded for the doomed city of Sodom. Look in Genesis chapter 18 with me for a moment. Genesis chapter 18, in verse 24. Abraham speaking, "Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein?" He's interceding, amen, because God said he's going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And here we are, Abraham interceding for that doomed city. Then we see also another example of interceding. Moses on the hilltop with uplifted hands, silently pleading for victory. Look in Exodus chapter 17, if you would. Exodus chapter 17. And in Exodus chapter 17, we need to look at verses 9 through 13. And Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with an Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur, and stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then we see another man of God interceding for the nation of Israel. We see Elijah praying for a divine manifestation that the nation of Israel might be rescued from idolatry. Look with me in 1 Kings, if you would. Chapter number 18. In verse 37. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 37. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." And then we also see that Job, in the midst of his sorrow and sufferings, making intercession for his mistaken friends. Look with me in Job chapter 42 with me. Job chapter 42, if you would. In Job 42, in verse number 10, Job chapter 42, verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. We also have to think of the man of sorrows, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Yet he made intercession for the transgressors. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 and 12. In fact, we see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's last prayer on the earth was a prayer of intercession for his murderers. Father, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In fact, if we look at the stoning of Stephen, let's turn to the book of Acts for a moment. We have the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. We read in verse 57 and following, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. So we see that Saul, who would later become Saul of Tarsus, who would later become the Apostle Paul after his conversion, we see him before his conversion was there and witnessed the stoning of Stephen. Verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down at Stephen and cried with a loud voice. Notice what he cries. It's a prayer of intercession. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You and I may pray. Lord, teach us to pray. But we see the need for intercessors is a great and growing need for the harvest, my friend, is plenteous. But the divinely equipped laborers are few. In fact, notice with me what Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. Verses 37 and 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers in to his harvest. My dear friends listening today, I really believe in our churches today that many have become so busy for busyness' sakes, doing this, that, and the other thing, amen. And I'm not putting that down, but what I want to say is we need to get back to the fundamentals of the faith. And prayer is one of those fundamentals. I remember when I was newly saved, and I thank God for the instruction in teaching and preaching that I got when I was first newly saved. But three basic things were really drummed into me that I'll never forget. Simple things. They were read the Word of God, pray, and attend. Read, pray, and attend. Read, pray, and attend. Simple, fundamental practices of the faith. Prayer, so vitally important in the Christian's life. But how much time, my friend, do you spend in prayer each day? And be honest. And within that time of prayer, how much time do you spend interceding on the behalf of others? Amen. See, the question set before you today is, will you labor in intercession for all men? That word all is inclusive. All men. Not just some men, particular men or women, just ones that you want to, but all men. That includes the like of Saddam Hussein and Bin Laden. Amen. Just to name a few. And there are many others. But it says all men, no exception. Also, for all that are in authority. Now, there are probably some that are in authority that you love to pray for. You love to intercede on their behalf. And I pray that the president is one of them, and the vice president, and their families, and the cabinet, and all those in government. But you know what? There are some maybe you've never prayed for. But it says for all in authority. Maybe here are some that are not on your prayer list, probably not on your prayer list. As you know, I live in the state of Massachusetts. And except for the time that I served my country, the armed services and the United States Air Force, I've always lived in Massachusetts. Massachusetts currently has two senators. You're probably very familiar with both of them, Ted Kennedy and John Kerry. Now, I may not agree with their policies and beliefs. Amen. Because they're very liberal, left-wing politicians, but they are the senators from my state. Amen. And we're told we're to pray for all men. In fact, we have a U.S. representative who is openly declared that he's homosexual is a Bible term, sodomite. That's Bonnie Frank. But you know what? The Bible says, for all they're in authority. I'm to pray for Bonnie Frank. How about the two senators from the state of New York? Chuck Schumer's and Hillary Clinton. How about Barbara Boxer? Amen. And Nancy Pelosi. All of these politicians are in positions of authority. And we may not agree on how they believe on things and the policies they push, but we're to pray, the Word of God says, for all that are in authority. All. Even the ones we don't like or agree with. Will you be a laborer in intercession for all men, for all that are in authority, for all our cities and towns, for our country, for our churches, for all men to be saved? You know, maybe we need to stop blaming the politicians for the condition this country is in. And maybe, just maybe, the reason this country is in such a mess is because Christians have not been interceding like they should. You know, maybe the reason former President Bill Clinton was so bad is because you and I didn't pray for him enough. Amen. Can you say, as Samuel declared, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you? You see, my friends, it is a sin against the Lord not to intercede in prayers for others. You see, the Lord needs intercessors in the spiritual harvest. He needs men and women to get down on their knees and cry out to God and intercede on behalf of all men, for all that are in authority, for our country, for our churches, for all men to be saved. Amen. As I conclude our study today, I leave you with this question. Won't you, listening today, be one of the Lord's intercessors? Amen. Will you be one who will actively get down on their knees, and if need be, on your face, and intercede on the behalf of others? Before I conclude today, I just want to mention again this study, as all our studies, are available on audio cassette tape. In fact, I do have a pastor's study catalog that has every study that we've had on the air for the past 6 years. If you'd like a copy of that catalog, please just contact me at the contact information, which the young lady at the broadcast will give you in just a moment. And again, I want to remind pastors that are listening that Brother Gino is available to preach Bible conferences, camp meetings, revivals, amen, and on a love offering basis. If you'll put me up, I'll come. Once again, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining Brother Gino for the pastor study. Till we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless you, and good day.